Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody, prime time. My take on Deion Sanders, Dan Lanning, the Ducks of Oregon, a little college football and cultural take. And then we have Liz Wheeler, author of Hide Your Children, to talk about the agenda to take your children away from you. Email us freedom at charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom at charliekirk.com and become a member at charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. It's charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So we haven't touched on this, but as some of you may or may not know, I am a college football fanatic. I know that it's a contradiction. Charlie, you say don't go to college. You say they're all Marxist hellholes. I get it. I fully acknowledge it. You can call me a hypocrite. You could say that it's a double standard. I don't care. I love college football. I love everything about it. I love the unpredictability. I love the recruiting. I love the authenticity of the players. I love all of it. I love the crowds, love the passion. I love the regalia. I love the play calling, the innovation. The NFL is nowhere nearly as entertaining, in my personal opinion, as college football. So I've been a college football aficionado for years, and my family all went to the University of Oregon, and I was a huge Ducks fan growing up, a major Ducks fan, and remain one. I mean, when I mean major, it's like the day the earth stood still when the Ducks are on. Anybody in my inner circle will tell you that it's not even a joke. You pay attention, you watch it, right? And so I watch the Ducks, love the Ducks. I've had a chance to get to know a lot of players, both former and current members on the staff. Just great, great people. And I know I'm going to get emails, Charlie, University of Oregon, super liberal. I don't care, okay? This is the one thing I carve out in my life that I enjoy. So grant me a little bit of mercy in that. So there's the number one story in basically all of sports, and one of the largest stories in American culture has been prime time, Deion Sanders. Now, I saw Deion take the University of Colorado job in the spring. I think it was early winter. I was like, wow, that's interesting. I just kind of stopped thinking about it. Now, to say that Colorado was bad last year is like, you can't even say that. Colorado was 1-11. 1-11. That's at the bottom of the barrel. They were the worst program in FBS. As bad as it gets. I mean, worse than, you know, Iona, okay? The trash heap of college football. So Deion comes in, and it's pretty legendary what he did. As he said, basically, I am not going, he did this in a very creative way, because you can't revoke a scholarship, but I think you get 86 scholarships in FBS college Division I football. He comes in and he says basically to 83 out of the 86, I'm not going to play you. I'll honor your scholarship, but you're not on the team. Basically effectively kicked 83 people off the team and kept like three linemen, like purging the entire team. So then he became the transfer portal landing pad, including his very talented two sons, Shadur and Shiloh Sanders. So he brings in all new people, and we're like, oh, what are we going to make of this, right? And look, Deion runs his mouth. And I have a lot of negative things to say about Deion that I think I don't like about him, but I also, there's some things I really like about him. His faith, his love of Jesus, his unapologetic Christian evangelism. He wears a JC on the side of his shirt, which is Jesus Christ, and it drives the liberals at Boulder crazy. I know this. I was just talking to a regent this last weekend. There's like an inner revolt at CU Boulder to try to get Deion Sanders to not have JC, Jesus Christ, on his shirt that he wears during the game. But it's prime time, everybody, so they have nothing to say. So, I mean, I read the college football blogs, and honestly, I follow him on social media. He posts stuff like this. He posted this just yesterday. God made you different for a reason. Don't change. He acknowledges that there is a God, that you are not him. Honestly, praise God that one of the top people on the American cultural landscape is not some sort of bitter atheist Marxist. I'll get into the negative parts of Deion, because there's plenty of them. But that needs to be said. I am cheering for his faith. The more he talks about the faith, I think that's a good thing for the country. Okay, so I was following the college football blogs over the summer, and we didn't know what to make of it. And then I was on vacation, obviously watching college football, and it was Colorado versus TCU. Now, remember, TCU was in the national title game last year against Georgia. They beat Michigan in the college football playoff. They were a great team, and they were bringing back a lot of players from last year's incredible run all the way to the college football playoff where they got blown up by Georgia. So here's Colorado, the worst team. They go 1-11 last year versus TCU, who went 11-1 or like 12-1, and their only two losses was basically, I think they lost in the Big 12 championship game to Kansas State, and then they lost to Georgia in the national title game. And Colorado beats them. And so everyone just starts going nuts. They go wild. What is this? And it becomes prime time. Now, to say this became a phenomenon would be it was hype train off the rails. College game day goes. There's this also like cheap man's competitor on called Big Noon Sunday with like all the washed up guys, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, and Urban Meyer, which I think is hilarious because Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush both played together. And Brady Quinn, who was also the quarterback at Notre Dame at the time. And they all kind of host this. It's a little bit of like a cheap man's college game day. They are now going back to Colorado for the third time to do their live college game day show. The third time. It's hype off the rails. It was just out of control. And then Nebraska, with a new coach, not very good, Matt Rhule, comes and Colorado blows him out. And so they just got out of control. Okay? Completely and totally out of control. And Deion is Deion. I mean, Deion, you can't look away from him, right? He's wearing sunglasses, a hat. He's got energy. He's got passion. He's got zing. And his players and sons, let's just say, they talk a little bit too much. But just look, I appreciate, look at this kind of attitude, okay? Play cut 131.
What is your mindset when people have opinions? What do you do with that? Do you just block it out or do you use it?
I don't care. Look at me. What about me would make you think that I care about your opinion of me? Your opinion of me is not the opinion that I have of myself. You ain't make me, so you can't break me. You didn't build me, so you can't kill me. I love it, but I don't care. And I wish the world thought like that. Youngsters, if you're out there right now, do not give a darn what opinions people have of you. Long as that opinion is not consistent of that of yourself. You be you. I'm not playing to make you feel good about me. I already feel good about me. I'm good.
Now, this is a fact. You can hate on Deion, and I certainly am going to offer some criticism in a second. But the dude was a legendary athlete. Here's a fact. He's the only player ever to play in a Super Bowl and a World Series. That's right. He was not a two-sport athlete. He was an excellent two-sport athlete. He was very good at baseball. Like, very good. Playing for both the Braves and the Falcons. Unheard of. I mean, Michael Jordan tried, but not even close to being as good. Like, Deion Sanders did not do baseball for fun. He was a great baseball player. And he has a ton of songs. He's got, like, five kids, and they are all pretty close. So coming into this weekend, Colorado was undefeated. They came from behind in a game that was far too close against Colorado State. And Norvell, the coach of Colorado State, was talking a big game. You know, my mama told me not to do press conferences with sunglasses and a hat on. And look, Colorado plays into this, right? They say, oh, you know, they made it personal. They made it personal. They made it personal. They made it personal. Let's play cut 129. 60 minutes dedicated half their show to primetime. Play cut 129.
Who's the best coach in college football today?
Let me see a mirror so I can look at it.
You feel that?
What, you think I'm going to sit up here and tell you somebody else? You think that's the way I operate? That somebody else got that on me?
Now, here's what drives me nuts, and we're going to segue this into the next segment. Instead of talking about Deion's faith, how he empowers his kids, how he empowers his student athletes, about how he pushes them. The media, of course, makes this about race. CNN.com. They hate Deion Sanders because of his audacious blackness. What does that even mean? And then it rolled over into the Oregon game this weekend. And I'm going to tell you the full story here. Deion plays a little bit too much into the BLM stuff at times. You could call him DEI on, you know, Deion. I'm going to grant him a little bit of mercy. He's not a political guy. He's at a very liberal school. He's wearing Jesus Christ on his shirt. So I give him a lot of grace, I'll be honest. He should teach his kids a lesson, though, because they were running their mouth last weekend, and they got taught a lesson. And then I'm going to show you a clip of where the media is now accusing the head coach of Oregon football, Dan Lanning, who's amazing, of being a racist because he dared to out Deion Sanders. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you get the feeling that the unthinkable is going to happen soon? Well, I do. Between the distractions and the smokescreens and the media, we probably might not even see it coming. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. That's why it's so smart to invest in emergency food right now. As they say, quote, it's better to have it, not need it, than to need it and not have it. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leader in high-quality emergency food. Head to MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare today with emergency food that will stay fresh for up to 25 years. Enjoy a wide variety of delicious food kits offering over 2,000 calories every day for optimum strength under stress. And don't forget about water filtration and purification products. These are perfect for your bug out bag, survival supply, and camping pack. One thing is for sure, in this world, we all need to stock up before panic sets in. Order by 3 p.m. and your item ships the same day, and that is really fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what's coming, MyPatriotSupply.com. So Deion Sanders does this thing, and I'm being overly generous because I have plenty of criticism, not all that I have to air, because he's got a tough job and he's been thrown into this, but he's big time. I think this is a beautiful story, though. I think that if he's becoming a father figure to young black men whose fathers are in prison, praise God, it's a great thing. Look at this, play cut 130.
We had an instance on the sideline. This last game with Jimmy was having a horrific game. He's a receiver, Jimmy Horn. And I said, Jimmy, you're a dog. We from Florida, man. And guess what? Papa's at the crib, and he's incarcerated watching you right now. And he wants to clap in front of all his different inmates because he believes in his son. We're going to make Pop proud tonight. That's what we're going to do because his son is a dog. Now, you go out there and show the world who you are. And in return, he went and caught the touchdown, the game-time touchdown. And he was having a great just speaking life into Jimmy and understand where he was, where he was located. I've been there because I sympathize and empathize with him, and I know his background and his situation. So I'm able to pull that intangible out of him that I connect to him in a pivotal time like that. And that's why I got to know my kids. I got to know this team. I got to know them individually as well as collectively.
And so at times he plays into, unfortunately, Deion plays a little bit into some of the BLM narratives, the us versus them type stuff. But all Cinderella stories have to come to an end. So they went to a double overtime game against Colorado State. They were exhausted. And even Tom Brady kind of warned Shedeur Sanders, like, hey, spend more time watching tape than buying Rolls Royces. Because now with the NIL, these kids are just getting flush with cash. That's a bad part of college football. I don't like it. These kids are making far too much money at a young age. So it all comes to now Oregon. So this, to say this was the national spectacle, this was like a mini Super Bowl, okay? I mean, it was on ABC network television. Colorado was undefeated. You have prime time. And here are the Ducks of Oregon, who really haven't received a lot of hype this year. Very, very good football team. I was at the Texas Tech-Oregon game, and that was a great game. So enter Dan Lanning, who is like 10 out of 10 aggressive. And I follow this guy very closely. He's going to get Oregon a national championship. Maybe not this year, hopefully, but in the coming years. I mean, this guy is a perfect type of college football coach. And he knows how to motivate his players. And Dan Lanning out-Deioned Sanders. He out-Deioned Deion. And then he's being called a racist for this. Does this sound like a racist Tape for you, play cut 127.
Rooted in substance, not flash. Rooted in substance. Today, we talk with our pads. You talk with your helmet, right? Every moment. The Cinderella story is over, man. Right? They're fighting for clicks, we're fighting for wins. There's a difference, right? There's a difference, right? This game ain't going to be played in Hollywood. It's going to be played on the grass, right? It's going to be played on the grass. Let's go.
Now he, by some people, they said this was an outright racist speech as he's talking to his majority black Oregon Duck football team. But he was going right after kind of Colorado's great vulnerability. They're all about clicks. We're about substance. It's nothing about race in that speech at all. It's about victory. And honestly, he can say whatever he wants. And Dion even agreed. At halftime, prime time, and all the hype. We're the best team ever, all this. You know, one of Dion's sons who's going through, he's like, we're going to roll you. I mean, just like trash talk. 35-0 at halftime. 35-0 at halftime. The University of Oregon football team, the Oregon Ducks, had more first downs than Colorado had yards in the first half. So I think that's a good lesson. I think Dion accepts it. You got to humble yourself a little bit. Now, Dion, you've earned the right to be a cocky dude. Super Bowl champion, maybe an MVP. If not, he deserved it. One of the best athletes America has ever seen. But his players, they haven't earned the right to be as cocky. You guys beat a rather overrated TCU team, a battered Nebraska team, and a bad Colorado State team at home in double overtime. But the media, I mean, I just read this one after the other. It's the audacious blackness that they don't like. His racist critics. If you type in Dan Lanning, there's one after the other. You see here that the media, they say, Oregon and Coach Dan Lanning are accused of racism for blowing out the Colorado team. What a sad state of affairs. They say, TheRoot.com, America has always been uncomfortable with confident black votes. Deion Sanders is evidence of that. Everything is about race because it's a means for control. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer, renting, and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Liz Wheeler, author of the important book, Hide Your Children, Exposing the Marxists Behind the Attack on America's Kids. Liz, welcome to the program. Tell us about your book.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks so much for having me today. I appreciate it. Listen, this book is an intense topic because it covers a topic that parents have a visceral reaction to. I mean, we've all been so shocked over the last couple of years to see our children inundated with critical race theory and the trans ideology and the 1619 Project and moral relativism. So I sought out to find, why is this happening now? Why is this escalating? Who's behind this? What is their goal? And what I realized in the course of my research for this book is it's not particularly new that the left is coming after our children. It's been an ongoing effort for decades and decades, which, by the way, the Republican Party has not fought against effectively. But what I found is the people who are behind these attacks, and I name their names and their organizations in the book, they're Marxists. They're Marxists who actively want to radically alienate children from their parents, ultimately to overthrow our country. So in the first half of the book, I name the names of the people behind these attacks. And in the second half of the book, I offer a solution that, Charlie, I will tell you, is different than the solution the Republican Party offers for how we can start winning for once, how we can reclaim these institutions and protect our kids.
So this is important for people to realize. True or false, Liz, there is a concerted, well-funded agenda to groom and sexualize and take children away from parents.
100% yes. Charlie, I read the founding document of queer theory in the course of the research for this book. It was written by a woman named Gail Rubin. She's alive and well in our country today. She's a Marxist. And I have never read anything so disturbing. I had to put the document down on the desk, walk away, catch my breath, because in this document, it lays out the transgender ideology, because the transgender ideology is just the principles of critical race theory. The transgender ideology seeks to sexualize children. Queer theory teaches that children should be sexually active, not just as teenagers or something that you and I might object to morally on the basis of our Christian beliefs, but Gail Rubin defends child pornography, Charlie. She outright defends pedophiles by saying that our society will regret imprisoning these men who, quote, love underage youth 20 years down the line. It's horrifying to see what's coming next.
And so explain that a little bit more, because most parents don't believe. They might say, oh, there might be some radical ideas, but they want the children culturally kidnapped away from traditional Western parental values.
They do. And let me explain exactly how it works. So it was no coincidence that critical race theory and the transgender ideology showed up one after the other in our public school system. First, critical race theory came in and told white children, if you're white, you're inherently bad and racist just by nature of having white skin, not based on your character. If you're black, you are oppressed and there's nothing you can do to redeem yourself. And Charlie, what happens to children when they're told that they're bad and there's nothing they can do about it, is it creates this identity crisis. They start feeling this self-loathing, this animosity towards their parents who made them this way, this bad way. And as this identity crisis begins to fester, in swoops queer theory and the transgender ideology, telling children, well, there actually is an antidote to the fact that you are bad. You can throw off this identity as an oppressor if you put on a marginalized identity, perhaps as a transgender person or non-binary or LGBTQIA. I describe it in my book as a 1-2 punch, because what happens is children are radically alienated from their parents in the process. The nuclear family is damaged almost beyond repair. And these children are not only mentally and physically and spiritually harmed, but they are secured as leftist activists, if not outright revolutionaries for a Marxist cause in the process.
And you say, we must hide your children. The internet agrees. Play cut 134.
Kelly Dodson was asleep with a little girl inside their apartment on Webster Drive when
I was attacked by some idiot from out here in the projects.
Dodson says her attacker used a garbage can to climb onto the unit's ledge, open the upstairs window, and then he got in bed with her.
He tried to rape me. He tried to pull my clothes off.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here.
Now, Liz, is that why you named your book the way you did?
Charlie, it is indeed. I named my book inspired by Antoine Dodson's video. I figured the least I could do was add a bit of levity to an otherwise very intense topic. But yes, Antoine Dodson did inspire the name of his book.
Yes, for people that don't know, that's a clip that before there was, you know, Twitter and all that, it just kind of went viral in its own way. And so then what is your recommendation, Liz? What is the battle plan to fight against the cultural kidnapping and subversion of our children?
And by the way, this makes us such millennials that this video is so prominent in our mind. Gen Z probably doesn't even get it, but you should watch that clip. It's hilarious.
It is funny. It was a big thing for a while. Yeah.
It's so funny. So my solution and this is where I differ a little bit from the Republican Party, because as I was researching the public school system and its origin, the public school system wasn't mandatory. It wasn't compulsory in our country until 1852, which is not that long ago. And the reason that it became compulsory was because there was an influx of immigrants to our nation at the time, particularly Catholic immigrants, and the Protestant politicians in charge wanted these immigrant children indoctrinated in American values so that they would be loyal to America first versus the country of their birth. And they wanted these children indoctrinated in Protestant values because of the age-old battle between Protestants and Catholics. And I realized as I was reading this, our education system actually is supposed to serve as an indoctrination center. We think of indoctrination in a derogatory way because of what the left is indoctrinating our children with, But indoctrination itself is kind of a nebulous, morally neutral concept. It is what is being indoctrinated that determines whether it's good or bad. So I challenge conservatives to rethink how we view these institutions and take them back. Because I don't believe in neutrality. I don't believe that schools are just going to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. There's always going to be some values that are imparted. It's either going to be the left's ideologies, or it's going to be the right's values and principles, which are American values and Judeo-Christian principles. We have to be able to view our battle, this cultural war against the left, in those terms, or we're just going to continue to lose the way that we have been, that has resulted in this cultural madness.
Yeah, so expand on that, because I don't want to gloss over it. You're right. There is no neutrality, because, you know, I talk to these normie suburban parents, even conservatives, and they do this stupid thing. They say, well, I just want my kid to be able to read and do science. Say, well, hold on a second. There's always values, okay? So it's either going to be your values, or it's going to be the lesbian and the gay and the homosexual and the transgender and the open border values. Talk more about that, Liz. The lie of neutrality.
That's exactly right. It's something that the Republican Party, and I differ between the Republican Party and the conservative movement, because the Republican Party is this political apparatus that's supposed to serve as a bulwark against these attacks on our institutions or our children. But this is an idea that the Republican Party fell prey to about 50 or 60 years ago. And it's actually rooted in a deeper philosophical misunderstanding of the role of government in our society. And what I mean when I say that is, Charlie, you and I think of the United States as a free country, maybe under threat. But we think of it as a free country, but what does that mean? What is freedom? What's the definition of liberty? And the Republican Party has defined liberty for the past half century as being an end to itself. Whereas I challenge conservatives to rethink the definition of liberty as the means to something greater, because if liberty, if the Republican Party is correct and liberty is an end to itself, then what David French once said when he said drag queen story hour is a blessing of liberty would have to be true, because those grown men had the freedom to gyrate in front of children. I reject that premise. I know that that's grotesque and it's evil. And so it has to be that the definition of liberty is the means to something greater. So I challenge conservatives to grapple with this question. What is this something greater? What do we want our society to look like? What does human flourishing mean? And how do we use the just authority of government to help achieve that?
Yeah, and I mean, David French, who famously came out and said that, you know, free speech is allowing, you know, dudes in thongs to sexually dance in front of children, like that's the blessing of liberty. And this is important. And Liz, I don't know how successful we will be with this, but so many people on the right are afraid to say that you're always going to be communicating some value system. The myth of neutrality is that which plagues our land. How do we get people convinced of this? Because Normies like to say that you could have middle ground, but you're always going to have some form of value system. 1 minute remaining.
It is. And there simply is no such thing as neutrality. You can pretend that there is, but there isn't. We have to understand that morality is already encoded into our system of laws. I mean, you can look at laws like homicide or laws against rape and assault, and they're based on the idea that that's an immoral act. And furthermore, you can look at laws based on children regulating their behavior. There's a law in our country that prohibits children from walking on the floor of a casino. Why? Because it's physically dangerous for them? No, because we all acknowledge that that's a moral hazard for our children. This idea that I'm proposing is not new. This is actually our constitutional heritage. The framers of our Constitution understood that liberty is not the license to do whatever you want. Liberty is the opportunity to live a virtuous life. And sometimes that requires conservatives to embrace the idea that government can and should be used to order society along some moral truths.
Liz Wheeler, the book is Hide Your Children. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. So, Liz, let's go through policy legislation. And are you prepared to say we should not send kids to government schools?
Listen, Charlie, I'm pretty based on the topic of public schools. I think we're probably this close in our country to needing to abolish the entire public school system. And I know that this is an edgy thing to say, even among Republicans, even among conservatives. But think about it. Would you send your worst enemy's child to our current public school system where they encounter, they will achieve no academic success? They are not properly socialized. They are going to be inundated with critical race theory, trans ideology. They're going to have Planned Parenthood as their sex educator. Why would you send your child to this public school? In my book, one of the things I do is advocate for parents, if you possibly can, to homeschool your children. And I know I'm incredibly biased on this because I was homeschooled from K to 12, but there's so many more homeschoolers now than there even were when I was homeschooled. Any parent can do it. It's not something you don't have to be a college professor or even a high school teacher to be able to administer the curriculum to your children. And it's a matter of the same concept we were talking about before. It's not really, you can't really educate your children neutrally. It's either going to be your values as a parent or it's going to be everything that I just described in the public school classroom.
That is exactly right. And so the Republican Party is starting to wake up to the parents' movement. So the critics, Liz, will say, but you guys want to ban books. Well, we want to ban pornography in the hands of kids. The Democrat Party is the pro-pornography party. How should we respond to this, and what legislatively would you recommend?
The best way to respond to the Democrats' accusation that we want to ban books is to show the content of these books that we don't want to be in the classroom in the hands of our first graders, second graders, and third graders. Take the book Gender Queer, for example. You open it up, it's a graphic novel, and it depicts perverse sex acts. Do you want your six-year-old reading this? Do you want your seven-year-old reading this? But the left has chosen this phrase book ban because it has a negative connotation, but no one's banning this book from being sold. No one's banning this book from being owned. What we're saying is that we don't want our children to be exposed to this sexually graphic material when they're in elementary school, when they don't even have their front teeth. This is a normal, rational position that the vast majority of parents take in this country. And all we have to do is describe what the left wants to put into the minds of our children, and you'll get parents on both sides of the aisle. It doesn't have to be conservative or Republican. Don't even have to be a Christian parent to realize that that's evil.
Yeah, it should be very, very basic. Other parts of the book, Liz, you want to touch on or make sure our audience aware of before our time ends?
Yeah, in chapter 12 of my book, I write a 12-step plan for how we can take back these institutions, because I don't want to just depress people by this catalog of all the Marxists coming after your kids that I detail in the first half. It is important to know who's coming after our kids and what they're motivated by. Because if we don't understand or acknowledge the reality of this political enemy, we won't fight well against them. We'll continue losing. And I, for one, am tired of losing. I want to win. And I think most conservatives do, too. But one of the things conservatives have misunderstood before is what limited government means. We've assumed that limited government means as small of a government as possible. And there's even been this tinge of immorality associated with using government to help order society. But that's not actually what limited government means. Limited government means constrained by enumerated powers or constrained by accountability to the people. So I challenge conservatives to use the just authority of government to help properly order society, whether this means legislatively banning critical race theory from schools, banning queer theory from schools, prohibiting even public universities or private universities that accept federally subsidized student loans, ban them from teaching any of this nonsense. Private organizations that have so much as a DEI officer, they should not be allowed to do contracts with the government. States should ban ESG on the grounds that it's not only a communist social credit score system that keeps corporations woke, but it's also financially negligent towards the shareholders and of these companies. There are so many legislative things that we can do to fight back. It's not just a matter of ordering our lives, our personal lives, and thinking that there will be a downstream cultural effect from that. We have to use the playing field that the left is using, which is putting these things in our institutions, being in charge of the institutions, and then using law to prevent evil from attacking our kids.
Liz Wheeler, the name of the book is Hide Your Children. Great work. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.